Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Smiley Kaufman for 61.
Wow. I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show. What's up, y'all? Had a lot of fun with my next guest. He's a Super Bowl champ, and for anyone keeping score at home, I believe we are now 3-for-3 on football guests with Super Bowl rings. He's yet another athlete who took up golf recently and got hooked. And he will be part of the Washington Commanders QB room this season with some Carolina blue and NC State red. He had some very interesting thoughts on that. Here's my chat with Jacoby Brissett. All right, we got Jacoby Brissett joining the Smiley Show. Jacoby, thank you for coming on and talking some golf, football. I'm really interested to start out to hear more about your golf background growing up in South Florida.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really excited about it and look forward to this.
Let's go. So tell me, you grew up in West Palm Beach. You went to high school at Palm Beach Gardens. Man, that is a golf hotbed. So was golf, were you playing golf at an early age or did you pick it up late?
Golf. I picked up golf probably about 3 years ago. My best friend, that's all he does is golf. So it was a way for me to start hanging out with him more because he was always going like golfing, and that's like 4 or 5 hours. So I'm like, man, I gotta learn at some point. And then once I started one lesson, and I just haven't looked back since. And now it's like pretty much all I do, and I base everything off season wise around it.
Man, you're hooked. You got the golf bug. Is that what you're telling me?
No, it's pretty much in my DNA now. I'm already like planning golf trips and stuff like that. So
that's the best thing about it is the golf trips and the hanging with the guys. And, but man, golfers, you know, it's a game that it can drive you nuts. But as somebody, you know, that's a perfectionist, probably like yourself, playing NFL football, being a quarterback, wanting to have control of everything going on around you. And then you pick up that golf ball and you stare at it and you're like, why won't it go where I'm looking?
Yeah.
So how difficult has it been over the last 3 years to kind of take strides in this tough game?
Man, it's been tough, but it's been fun. And I think that's probably everybody like that plays, that's not a professional golfer, that's the thing that drives them the most. It's like, how can I get good at this sport? Unfortunately, like, you know, you go through season and I probably don't play during the season as much. I don't play at all. So it's like when you come back to how can I get better in 4 or 5 months to where this is like, I'm a good golfer. And then you get like fascinated on like, all right, I need to work on my driver. And then your driver gets good. And then it's like, well, now I'm not putting. I can't putt for anything. So it's just like that constant drive to figure out like ways to get better. You know, I think it's just like the coolest thing in the world.
So, all right. Well, I want to know more about your golf game where you're at right now. And if I can give you an analogy, can you describe your golf game in football terms?
In football
terms? Or even vice versa, describe your football game in golf terms. Either or where you're
all right. So if this was football, my golf game would probably be like at a if you ever play like high school football. You have freshman JV and then varsity.
Yes.
And sometimes the JV can come up and play varsity. And then the varsity, that's like, I wonder why I play JV and freshman. So I'm probably I'm above freshman. So I'm probably like in the 10th grade playing.
Are you starting though?
I'm starting on JV. I'm starting on JV. But I can easily get benched real fast. And then some days it's like I should get moved up to varsity and see how many plays I can play well. So I'm probably in that range right now.
Oh, so what's your handicap right now, you think? Do you have a handicap?
I used to keep one, and then it's just so much to like, I get so frustrated to like.
No, it's all good, man. You've only been playing 3 years, man.
Yeah, so I'm probably in between like mid-90s to like high 80s.
Yeah.
Then I can go shoot a 150 in a heartbeat, though. So I'm in that range right there.
What are we working on right now? What's like the biggest trouble spot where you're like, God, I cannot get this right?
For me right now, it's pretty much like course management, I would say, is probably the biggest thing for me. It's like, because you watch a tournament and like they're like 250 out, and it's like guys are hitting a 7-iron. And you're like, why are they hitting a 7-iron? But you understand, like, they're not trying to go for the green every time. Like,
right.
I remember watching this.
It's a game of misses where you're trying to leave it. Yeah.
And I remember watching this clip of Tiger, and he was like, you know, like, everybody's like, oh, you're so aggressive. He's like, well, I'm aggressive to my spots and I'm aggressive to what I'm doing. And, you know, I just thought that's like the coolest thing. So like, I've been working a lot on like course management, stuff like that, and being able to, you know, like second shots off the tee, like on par fours and par fives, right, and like that. And just trying to, you know, minimize using a club higher than a 7-iron as much as possible. So,
when you get started, like you have in the last 3 years, it can be overwhelming to try to work on everything and not know exactly what to hone in on. And starting with course management is honestly not a bad idea, because you get the more you play with better players and you see how they get around a golf course. Have you ever played with very many other pro golfers? Have you seen like at golf at its highest level?
So I've been to a couple tournaments. I never played with a professional golfer. My friend that I told you, my best friend that's a golfer, he's probably a scratch golfer, probably plus one or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, just watching him play is like, it's like night and day. It's just like, I'm giving him an extra hour on his day by being on the golf course with me, because I'm hitting more shots.
It doesn't matter, man. Just being out there and learning. Dude, you're in Jupe. We're going to have to get you set up with some of the boys so they can,
for sure.
First off, you get to see what it looks like watching them play, and you're like, okay, this is how they do it. And then they can also give you tips too. And
yeah, for sure.
And my phone line's always open as well to get you dialed in. But
definitely.
Man, so you say do you watch much golf on TV?
Yeah, I do. I mean, any big tournament, I mean, I used to grow up and I was like, man, every time I see golf on the channel, I'm turning the channel. I'm like, I'm not watching that. It's so slow and all this stuff. And now as I've gotten older and have started to play golf, I'm like watching golf. And like, say if my brother walks by, he's like, are you watching that boring? I'm like, you didn't see that shot? Like, you know, it's just things like that to where it's like, you understand what you're looking at now. And it's how exciting that is. So as much as I can, I'm watching golf and either I'm watching it on my phone or I'm watching it on TV or walking around the house and stuff like that.
Who do you like to watch the most? Like, who's the player that you're trying to emulate the most when you watch him?
So, well, emulate. anybody that's getting the ball in the air, I'm trying to I would say like my favorite to watch right now is probably like the quote unquote Jupiter crew, you know, like obviously Brooks is from my area. So, you know, watching him, Daniel Berger, when he was playing, he was my high school. Me and him went to high school together.
I didn't know you and Bug went to high school together.
And then obviously like watching, like, you know, I was at a long time ago, Ricky won the Honda when he won the Honda. I forget what year it was. I remember going to that and watching, and then actually going to like his like quote unquote like after party at like the woods or something like that.
I probably was there.
I like watching Ricky. I like watching John Rahm. I mean, it's kind of hard not to like Scottie Scheffler.
Man,
it's such a fan of golf right now that it's hard for me to say like, you know, one particular guy that I'm like rooting for, you know.
Well, I mean, if you haven't watched Scottie Scheffler play in person, what he's doing this year with his golf ball and the control that he has from tee to green, is unlike we have that we've seen before, really in a long time, really since the Tiger Woods years. And that's the type of rarefied air he's entering as far as the strokes gained data is concerned. He's been fun to watch from my perspective. So yes, he's a good guy to try to watch and like soak in that knowledge of like, okay, yeah, your footwork's weird, but it works somehow.
No question. And it's just like, even when, you know, you're watching him and say, if I'm like on a course and I'm like following the course, like following the tournament or something like that, or whatever I'm doing, and everybody's like, who you got to pick? And it's like, it's hard not to put him like up there. You know, he's going to get to be around like the top five or the top 10 to where it's like, all right, I got to watch this guy, you know?
Yeah, man. So I tell you what, so many former athletes too, there's like a legit celebrity golf circuit now that all these guys are trying to work their way into to go to play at Pebble Beach. And
there's a
tournament Frisco. So you got to get that game up to where you're, you know,
I mean, this year I played at Torrey Pines this year.
Oh, nice.
And then I went to Bandon Dunes and played the Pacific course and walked that course. It was beautiful.
How amazing is Bandon?
Oh, man. Like
I went last year.
I texted my boy like as I left the course. I was like, we're coming out here and spending like 4 days and we're just going to play golf every day. Like we're going to play 36 holes and just hang out here.
Did you just play one golf course while you were there?
So I played one course there and then I drove to Bend, Oregon, and then played a couple courses there. And,
I was going to say, man, like you need to play that whole rotation over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Dunes. Sheep Ranch is incredible. I played there last year. I was working the US Junior and got to play Sheep Ranch, and that place is amazing.
Yeah. They say, I mean, just being out there, it was so many people for one out there because everybody was golfing, and then just driving around through the course and looking at other holes and things like that. It's just like, man, you just got to be out there, you know?
Yeah. It just feels like it's golf at its purest form. You don't really ever find golf like that in the States. It's the most like Lynx golf that we see for the Open Championship or the Scottish Open this next week is kind of what you get at Bandon Dunes with the rolling fog coming in and just playing the ball on the ground and playing really, shots that you don't play in the States. We typically have golf courses that are built very modern and you play the ball up in the air over bunkers, where Bandon Dunes has that feel where you can kind of hit, you know, a full iron from 130 and chase it up on the green. That's kind of the cool thing about that place.
Exactly. And I mean, you walk the course and that was my first time walking the course. And obviously you have a caddy and stuff like that. And you're listening to them like tell you what shots to do. And I'll never forget. I was 120 out. And the caddy goes, just get your 5 iron and just, you know, throw it to the left and it's going to come back right. I'm like, bro, it's 120. Like, I don't feel comfortable getting my 5 iron. I was like, I know I'm not. Like,
do you know how much I bench?
I'm like, I know I'm not that good, but come on, a 5 iron. And just to know, like, I mean, I hit it and like, it landed short of the green and I'm like, damn, I should have got a hybrid or something out of it.
Man, that's I'm glad you got to experience Bandon Dunes. And Torrey Pines is I imagine that course was very difficult.
It was honestly like to the point where I was like I was ready to pick up my golf club and just go to the lounge and start drinking. And
I was about to say, man, I wouldn't have told you to go out to Torrey until like you're mentally and physically ready for battle, because
yeah,
if you're not in fairways, it's so difficult.
No, and the thing was, it wasn't the roughs weren't as bad as they are obviously for tournament play, and I just will never forget me and my friend we're playing and it's like we got to go to the clubhouse to get more balls, like we're losing balls. you get into some part and it's like, man, I'm picking up right here, just give me the max and then I'm moving on to the next hole.
Yeah, there's no worse feeling when you reach your hand down in your golf bag and you're like, man, I am running low.
Yeah,
no I've had course. That happen to me on tour a time or two when I think I maybe packed like 6 balls and this is when I was playing like crap and I reached down in there. I said, oh boy, this is it's going to be a little dicey.
Yeah, that's when you start going looking for other balls through the woods and something like that. It's like you're playing Callaway noodles and you're playing pinnacles. Just and stuff
with you. Every and anything that you can get your hands on.
Yeah, no question.
Well, I want to get into a little bit of football stuff. The only time I've seen you play in person was actually in Death Valley when you were playing for the Florida Gators.
Oh, and yeah.
Man, we had a defense that year in 2011. So I apologize, man. That was a that was like an NFL defense you were going up against.
I think it was what? It was seven first rounders on that defense. When we look back and like saw the players, it was that was my first ever college start as well.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely quite an experience for sure.
Yeah, we came after you that day, man. It was
I think everybody was like, yeah, we're playing against a freshman. He didn't take any reps. He was the third string coming in. It's like, yeah, we're about to have a career day. And it sure felt like that for a good part of that game. I can't say that I played my best that one.
No, it's all good. That first start in Death Valley is not exactly the one you want to have.
And I think it was like 3:30. So everybody's all those New Orleans Cajuns were drunk as hell. And
I was one of them.
And I was like, man, this will be a long day.
Oh, shoot. Well, was Florida always a school was that kind of your dream school?
No, actually, like my dream school was North Carolina, University of North Carolina. I mean, I know I went to NC State, so the people.
Wow, this is all right. We're going to get into that.
People are going to hate me for this, but I always wanted to go to North Carolina to play basketball. And, you know, football was never like my like first love, you know? So.
Wow.
And then like football, it was like wherever I can go play, it was wherever I was going to go play. So, yeah, it was always North Carolina for basketball. Was my
hold on. So what position did you play in basketball? Were you like a 3-4 kind of stretch?
I was actually the point.
You ran the point.
Yeah. For my high school. Sorry.
Hold on. What was your height and weight coming out of high school then?
I was about 6'3", 6'4". Yeah. I was 6'4", probably like 225. But we had like my starting five, my senior year was our big man was 7 foot. We had 2 6'9s. And then we had another guy that was 6'3", 6'4" ish, played the two.
What, dude? Yeah. I played high school basketball and I was 6'1" point guard. And that was like considered pretty dang tall for the point. Dude, 6'4" running the dish at the top, yeah. Man. What? No question.
It was a fun year because we had so much talent and so much height. And it was like, we had that lineup and then we had a shorter lineup where I played like pretty much the five, you know, and then played a couple of our other guys that weren't as tall as our 6'9"s and stuff like that. And it was pretty cool.
So what did your basketball offer sheet look like?
So a lot of teams like would allow me to play both in college.
Which seems impossible after going through college. Like,
I thought it was going to be a good idea. After my first year of Florida, I didn't play much. I played probably like 2 or 3 games and I was like, you know what? Forget football. I'm going to try to play basketball and see what can just play a year.
Wait, really? So when did all that happen?
This is my first year. So Billy Donovan is there. I want to say it was Billy Donovan. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm going to play. And then I get through the year of football and I'm like, no chance I'm going out to play basketball right now. Like I have no interest in it. And I didn't go back to it. And then I just stuck with football. And, but yeah, I was thinking about going to walk on at basketball at my first freshman year of Florida.
Wow, man, that's crazy. I didn't know that. I read an article. I can't remember. I think this is probably before you played the Patriots this past year. And I believe it was Devin McCourty. Is that right? Would he have been on the Patriots? He was, I read a quote that said like, yeah, Jacoby thinks he's good at basketball. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, oh, that was kind of an odd thing to say, but I guess you do, you got a basketball history here.
Yeah, I do, to the point where, I mean, if Tom watches this, he like, when I first like met him and he's like trash talking, he's obviously talking about like how athletic he is, how much of an athlete he is. Cause he heard that I could play basketball.
Yeah.
He just talking so much trash. And then Brad Stevens comes into Patriots facility because he was like shadowing the coaches and stuff like that. And I was like, well, Brad like recruited me like when he was at Butler, and Brad like confirmed, he was like, yeah, he was pretty. Like we wanted him at Butler to play basketball, you know? So that kind of gave me a little nod over time. And I was like, yeah, I've seen you play basketball on that famous like clip with him and MJ. I was like, no chance you're beating
me. No chance he can guard me, dude. Yeah, like no chance.
Especially not at 37 or 35 when I met him.
He's a pretty confident guy in anything he does. And
sure. Cool. Like I can drive the ball 320. I can hit a baseball out of Fenway Park. And I was like, I watched the match and I'm like, yeah, you're not hitting it 320. At least not straight.
No, he's got some game. I've played some golf with him. He's
not seen him play.
So what was it like being underneath Tom Brady, man? Like, you know, you get drafted by the Patriots and, you know, I can imagine that you just followed him around like a puppy dog just to try to soak up as much as he can, right?
I mean, as much as he let me follow him, I did. You know, it was a great experience. I mean, obviously, you know, getting to learn from the greatest quarterback to ever play football, and being able to, you know, go through his process and his journey of a football year in and year, like throughout the year. I think it was like probably the most invaluable thing that I've learned in my time throughout the NFL, and set aside, you know, he's probably one of the better teammates that I've ever had. And, you know, being at that superstar level that he is, I mean, you know, he's Tom Brady, but when you're around him, he's just like, he's Tom, you know, he's just like, he's one of the guys, and just being able to have that professionalism to, you know, being able to say like, hey, like, listen, like, let your guard, like, relax a little bit. But also, like, when we're working and we're competing at the highest level possible, and just taking that mindset and that, you know, that edge with me along my journey throughout the NFL is just something that, like, from him, it's just like, you know, it's been, you know, hard to replicate, but something that I've always strived to do because, you know, obviously you see how much it paid off for him. And then, you know, like, me and him are good friends now, you know, we do certain things together, and it's definitely been a treat for sure.
Well, I mean, I know how competitive Tom is, but you're coming in and I think Tom sees anybody that's underneath him, even though like it was Tom's job in New England, he still, I feel, was he as competitive in practice with you guys to where he just wanted to make sure to let you guys know, like, hey, I'm the guy.
For sure. To the point where it was like annoying as hell, because it's like I'm coming in, I'm third string, obviously, because it's me, Jimmy, and him.
Yeah.
And, I'm like, I'll never forget. It's like OTAs whatever we're doing. We're like in the meeting room and we're like, the coach has me and Jimmy like competing to answer questions. And we're like watching Tom film and this stuff like this, so obviously he knows the answers. And he's like, Jacoby and Jimmy, like, this, whatever this is, we're like answering a question about something, and he goes, ready, go. And then Tom just throws the answer out, and he does this like 5 times in a row. I'm like,
if he's one up, and
yeah, I'm like, if you don't shut up right now, like, we're actually trying to learn right here. And, you know, that just was his competitive nature. He was just like, I don't care, like, I'm going to show you that I know what I'm doing, you know. And then we get out on the field, he wants to take every rep, no matter the time, like middle of the season, you know, like Tom wants to go every rep. And to the point where like Bill always used to throw young guys in there to get like, you know, because Bill tries to create, like, you never know when your time's going to come, your opportunity's going to come. So you got to make sure you're ready. And I just never forget, like, he throws like Jimmy in for a rep.
And he hadn't thrown a pass in weeks.
And Tom, it's like the middle of the season. Tom walks off the field, like walks behind like where the quarterback stand. And he's looking at McDaniels like, what are we doing? Like, he's like, I mean, that's Bill did that, not me. And it's just like, you just saw that competitive nature, like, never died in him. And it was like, you know, to the point where when I got my opportunity to play, like, and our coaches, there's like other places, you know, the ones get rep and the twos get rep. Yeah. Just like, and it's to the point where I was just like, no, I'm gonna take every rep. Like, I want to make sure you know what I mean? It's just because that just becomes ingrained in you that's the standard, you know?
Yeah. I imagine, you know, being in the New England Patriot organization had to have helped you as you continued on in your journey in the NFL. But your first year though, I'm wondering, so Tom's suspended for all the stuff that happened, and how supportive was he for like your first start during all that? Was it still he wants the best for the team and you, or was it like, hey, I'm coming for you when I come back?
No. So the funny thing about it was like, so I never had Tom's number until after my last game. He had never texted me like by itself. It was always in our group chat, like we text each other, you know, like me and stuff like that. And I'll never forget like when his last day before he like had to face a suspension.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like, you know, good luck, boys, because obviously Jimmy was starting the first week in Arizona. He's like, good luck, boys, you guys are going to kill it. Like, he's like, but I'm going off the grid. Like I'm going, I think he went like traveling somewhere, did something. And so he was supportive then. And then I just remember like my first like real text from him was after, like literally the night after we played the Bills, the fourth game, his last game of suspension, and we lost a tough game. And he texted me. I was already mad. We didn't play well. It's just like, it was just a long day. And that was my first like solo Tom text from him. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, why is he texting me right now? I'm like kind of mad and stuff like, but I'm like, oh shit, it's Tom Brady. You know, like he texted me like, bye, like not in the group chat. And then he came back the next day because we went to watch film and stuff like that.
What'd he say?
He was just like, you know, like.
Supportive?
Yeah, very supportive. And like, you know, like you did a good job, obviously, like in the circumstances, what that game was and such and such and stuff like that. Because I was having surgery, trying to have surgery the next week because I tore a ligament in my thumb the week before. And I just never forget, like then the next day he came in and it's like, we like became best friends, you know? It was like, he was like, I was his boy, you know? And I think it was more so like you gained that respect from him that he like can, you know, trust you and count on you. And then ever since then, we just never looked back.
Man, so did you take that into other locker rooms that you went into? I think so much that I've read about you is that everyone says how great of a leader you are and how good of a teammate you are. Did that all start with watching Tom and being in the New England Patriots organization? Or is that just something you've always been good at?
I think it was something that I've always like, you know, been good at because of my high school coach. Obviously, not obviously, but my high school was pretty good. Like we had a bunch of good players.
In high school?
Dwyer High School in Palm Beach. Okay. And so like he was always like, man, you're going to be around a lot of good players for a long time. You got to learn how to lead, especially at the quarterback position. You got to be able to like not control the room, but kind of like, you know, lead the room. And so it's something that I've always strived to do like along my journey from like college and get into the pros. And then honestly, like just seeing him at the highest level, you know, like who he was as a superstar, obviously nobody will reach that pinnacle as who Tom Brady is, but being able to control that and also like make guys want to follow. I think that's the most important thing is like his leadership is guys want to follow him for a reason, you know, and obviously the winning helps, but other things that he does, you know, makes people want to like follow him. And then it's just like, I've been fortunate enough to play in a lot of like with a lot of other good quarterbacks from Andrew Luck to Phillip Rivers. And the list goes on to be able to like, you know, see how they do it and, you know, just take, you know, things from other guys and like how they like lead certain groups or doing certain times of the year, you know, it's because the season's long and, you know, hearing the same speech every week fast, you know, so just listening to those guys and kind of just like taking stuff from them and trying to implement it into myself.
Yeah. So you say Tom, Andrew Luck and Phillip Rivers. I'm curious. So what makes those guys elite in your head from what you've seen? Is it all the same or they do it different ways? Just curious if you picked up on anything, just why they've been so successful.
I definitely see why they all are the same, I would say, but they all kind of, you know, do it differently. I would say, you know, like Andrew Luck is like they're all fierce competitors, but like Andrew is kind of like a headbanger. I think later in like his last year, some like he kind of learned how to not like take as many hits, but he was always like, I'm a tough, like I'm gonna show you I'm a hard nosed tough. Whereas Phillip is like junkyard dog. Like he's like, man, like I'm gonna wake up out of the bed and I'm gonna go out there and throw for 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, and just, you know, put my head down. And whereas Tom is like, he's tough too. Like he's gonna put his body through the ringer, you know, and he's gonna find a way. And he was doing this when I met him, I think at like 36, you know, and he was 22 out there and just finding ways to get his body ready to go to play and his mental fortitude going into games to be able to like, this is what we're going to do. Like, and then in game being able to like, oh, they're like doing this. And he remembers it from 25 years ago, you know, when he was playing, cause he's been playing for so damn long. yeah. He's just like, oh, we're going to do this now. And just like, just things like that, that made them so different. But I think the main thing that made them the same was their routine and their like preparation was like each of theirs, like in their own respectable way, was like unmatched.
And for you, did you have to change much when you got in the league as far as your routines go? And did you kind of use the things you've learned from those guys to kind of mold to what you are now, talking about those experiences and plays or spending more time in the film room? Was there one aspect that you said, I need to get this more well-rounded to continue to play in the NFL at quarterback?
Yeah, I think I changed everything when I
everything.
Like, no, obviously, like going my first year and just, you know, you're not knowing what is going to be your rookie. You know, you're going into obviously like the most respectable team in the NFL. You're playing with probably the greatest coach of all time, the greatest quarterback of all time, and one of the greatest franchises of all time. And I just remember like, man, I'm not doing anything right. I don't know what I'm like running around this place. Like, I don't know what, I bet they're thinking like, why did they even draft me? And I just remember like,
What was the switch? Like what?
You know, just like how you take care of your body, like yeah. Your preparation for the game. Like, you know, like obviously we like people like to get to the NFL, you know, what hard work, like, you know how to work out, you know how to get up and run.
Right.
And, but it's just like doing it the smart way, you know, like, oh, like make sure you're doing this at like nutrition and all of this stuff. And obviously Tom takes it to the extreme with his like nutrition and how he take care of his body. So, but you just like, oh, like, I mean, if you want to be at that level, at some point you got to implement some of that stuff, you know, and then just things like that preparation and just like studying the game and the questions you ask, the way you come and present yourself. It's just all of those things kind of just changed for me. And to the point where I was like, man, I wish I can go back to college right now and then implement these things. I'll be the number one pick. I'll be like, I'll be the man,
crazy.
You know? So it's just like, it's just so funny. Like the more you're exposed to, just the more you grow and learn and being able to see, like, you know, it's 100 ways to skin a cat, you know, and it's just like finding ways to, you know, keep getting better each and every year. After my first year, I never forget, like, I text Tom, I was like, dude, I just want to know what you do in the off season. Like, and if I can like shadow you or whatever, you know, I'll never forget. Like he sent me a text and like 2 days later, we're on like a FaceTime, like, and him like going through his routine, like, what's he going to do? Like,
love that.
And stuff like that. So it's just like, things like that, like how he helped me like pick his brain and allow for me to like, you know, use him as a like soundboard and check in with him and things like that.
Man, that's so cool. And
yeah, for sure.
You know, I would say, or just everything you've gone through in college and pro ball, you've had to earn your opportunities out there. And that's kind of similar to the PGA Tour. You know, nothing is guaranteed for us from 1 year to the next. You know, the one thing that we have as golfers is that we can go, and what we achieve and what we earn is what we get as far as a tour card. So if you go out and do it, you have a job for the following year. But for an NFL player, it's not necessarily the case. Like, yes, you can put the stats up, but you still have somebody making a decision whether you're going to have a job or not. But for you, you know, taking that one game at a time mentality, how have you been able to kind of, you know, stay in your own lane and not look too far in front as far as just, you know, thinking too much about, you know, 1 year to the next.
Yeah, I think and it's so funny. It's just like golf, you know, it's just like nothing's more important than this shot right here. Like this shot right here is the most important thing. Like this putt or whatever it is, it's like, you can't think about like, what am I going to do when I get around the green or so like, just for me, like, you know, you come into this league and you hear all the stories about like how fast the NFL is and like how easy, like you can get out of the league and how fast is like your career can be done. And I just never forget, like, you know, 1 week, like I forget what it was. And one of the like older players were like, I think it was Devin McCourty. Actually, he was like, like, he was like, watch how many new guys you're going to see like after training camp and like people's careers are going to be over and stuff like that. And sure enough, like, we had like seven new guys. And then it's like seven of those other, like a bunch of those other guys that got like, that didn't make the team. It's like a handful of them didn't play again, you know? And I think that just opened my eyes. Like, man, like you just really got to cherish, you mm-hmm. know, how great the opportunity is to like, just to suit up every day, you know, and go out there and do the thing that you said as a kid, like one day I want to, you know, play professional football, you know, and you obviously don't understand like what all goes into that as a little kid. You think you're just going to play mm-hmm. and go home and hang out with your friends and stuff like that. And but like just to, I fell in love with waking up to go practice and waking up and go work with the guys and just things like that, to where it's like now the games are just like, are just icing on the cake, where it's like practicing, like training camp and OTAs and things like that, to where it's like, that's like the most fun time for me, because you get to like really build that camaraderie, that team, that, that excitement for, you know, whatever it is to come throughout the year, to where now it's like, man, every day is just so like, so, it's so fun. It's such a blessing to do it, you know?
Yeah. And on the PGA Tour, most of the time there's 125 cards the guys are competing with from 1 year to the next to keep a job on the PGA Tour. But for a guy like you that's in a very small room, being the quarterback position, which typically some teams carry two, some carry three, if I'm not mistaken, is it kind of awkward, you know, knowing you're competing with a guy with his career on the line? And is it what's the camaraderie like? There's some quarterback rooms like more helpful than others compared to ones that you've had that are like just kind of awkward.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, just my first year, like Jimmy was like the like heir apparent to Tom.
Yeah, remember
like that. Man, he's coming in and he's gonna be the guy like when Tom was done. And obviously, like having the suspension, everybody's like, this is Tom's last year, like whatever the case may be. And then here I come, like I'm trying to make a name for myself. Like I wanna go out there, compete. Obviously, you know, you're not gonna start with Tom Brady, but it's like I wanna show that I'm supposed to be in this room. Like they drafted me for a reason. And I think that room right there kind of like set my career up, because it was like, it was so competitive, but like, it was so like, you know, we're here for each other. Like we're obviously going through a unique time, you know, in the QB room, like Tom's suspended, Jimmy's starting, then Jimmy gets hurt, then I'm starting. So it was just like how supportive that group was. But like when we're out on a practice field, like we're out there like competing, like it's like that part when I was like, Tom didn't want to give up any reps. Like me and Jimmy were looking for those reps. Like I didn't get one rep today and like things like that, to where, cause you know, the other guys in the room on the team are like looking at us, like, who's it going to be? Like, is it going to be Jimmy? Is it going to be Jacoby? Like when Tom's done it, how, like, is Jimmy ready? Is Jacoby ready? So things like that, to where you just never wanted to like embarrass yourself or let the guys lose confidence in you, to where like, I think when I like got traded in that, like throughout my career, I kind of took that same mindset. Like no matter what the room was, like the main thing that drives any player, you know, like from golf and anything, it's like we're competing. Like we want to go out there and be the best. Like obviously I want to see obviously I want to see this guy next to me do well and live out his dream, but not at the expense of mine. Like I want to go out there. I want to be the guy. I want to go out there and, you know, and play well and have all the guys rely on me. And, but so like, I think I took that with me throughout, but you make it fun. You know, it's not like, hey, I'm not going to help you out, or like leave. It's, you learn to compete and everything. So like you get in these rooms and you go golfing with the guys, like, all right, like I'm better than you at golf, even though we all suck. Like we're all shooting 110. So it's like, who's going to shoot 109? And like, so the ways to compete and you just like, it makes it fun. Like to where it's not like unheard of rule in the quarterback room. It's like we're competing. Like, I don't care if you like it or not. Like I want to start, like I want to be the guy. So
yeah. It's your job, man. And that's, I'm sure that's since junior high, you probably said, I want to beat you out and whatever it is. And that's you got to keep that mindset. if you're going to last in the NFL.
Exactly. But once you stop it, it's you might as well start packing your bags up, because that's when the league is gone.
Yeah.
Take the storm, you know?
All right. So you're pretty electric on Twitter. You're kind of a deep thinker.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to run through some of your greatest hits on Twitter by you. And I need some further explanation on these three.
All right. So
here we got, what's on the other side of a black hole? Sitting here, what shape is the sky? And if the sun is hot, how is outer space cold? And before you answer kind of like those three, do you have any other theories that are kind of cooking up for a tweet as far as outer space goes?
So I literally was just talking about this to one of my, so all of those like tweets came from, I'm a part of this, like, well, we kind of like have fell back, but a bunch of like my college roommate and a bunch of like his friends, we like started this like group called like the Finer Things Club. And we were like,
just deep thinking.
Yeah. Just deep thinking about the dumbest things in the world, you know? And just like trying to like debunk a lot of these things that we grew up thinking about and stuff like that. And we used to always just bounce these ideas off each other. And they obviously aren't professional athletes now, but I was like, I'm gonna just tweet.
Are they astronomers?
No, they're dumber than me. And, so I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna just see what like somebody says. Like, it's just dumb stuff. I just want to see what somebody says. And I just started tweeting it, and like it like started to pick up for a while, you know. And so we were like, they would just hit me up and be like, "Hey, tweet this and see what response we get." And so that's how all the tweets got came about for the most part. And then
I love when a group chat gets hype like that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the funny thing was, like, NASA like reached out to me about like the outer space stuff. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, like, were they telling you like, wait, don't say anymore? Like, we don't want you to start asking if aliens are real.
No. They just were like giving me like so many explanations about like the sun and like outer space and all this stuff. Okay. And I told my friends, I was like, yeah, I'm not reading all of that shit. Like, I'm just.
Are y'all alien truthers in that group chat?
So I, in another group chat, one of my friends is like super big on like aliens are real. Like, they're lying about a lot of this stuff. I'm like,
I'm here for anybody that has the takes. I just want to hear their evidence and videos or their, what they read.
Yeah. I'll see his number. Dude literally sends podcasts every week. He'll send a podcast every week, a video, like a news article, and he'll just like show you, like, you know, they're hiding all of this stuff. Like, he believes in Bigfoot, like he believes in all of this stuff to where it's like, bro, don't you have a regular job? Like, how you like how do you have time to listen to like all of this stuff and like believe all of this stuff? And it's just so funny. Like, then I just started tweeting all this stuff out, and then it just got a lot of buzz.
I recently followed you on Twitter at and this, it was electric. I was just going through your Twitter feed. I was laughing. I had to ask you because some of the stuff was just absolutely incredible. Have you taken some of this to Threads? Have you to join the Threads gang?
I haven't. I'm not a big like social media guy. I just do like the bare minimum. You know?
I feel you.
So I haven't. I haven't joined Threads. I probably won't because I don't want to download another app on my phone.
My bandwidth, like you, man, it's like too much. Exactly. I've got this Threads thing. I was telling my producer last night, it's kind of hype over at Threads. Like, the energy is really good over there, but it's not even close to as good as Twitter, like getting around it. Like, for me, Twitter's my newspaper, and this Threads thing is just like a side hobby where I'm sending GIFs, videos, and memes. And that's kind of how I'm treating it right now.
Exactly. So like, I just can't get into another social media app right now, but Twitter, like for a time, like, it was like where I was like having all my conversations with my friends, like we would just send, like, you know, you send stuff back to each other, and like interacting with each other off Twitter and stuff like that was a fun. It was that time when I was sending all those damn tweets, was like, that was my hot time on Twitter.
Well, I'm sure this came across my Twitter at some point over this past year, is that you signed a 1-year deal with the Washington Commanders. And so how is this QB room going to work now that you're an NC State guy? But I just kind of found out you're a North Carolina guy in your back of your head, but we're not going to hold that to you. And then Sam Howell is a Carolina guy. So,
yeah,
I mean, do you two got any bets lined up for the NC State North Carolina game yet or no?
I'm sure we will. The funny thing is, I haven't told him that I was a UNC fan yet.
Okay.
So he already has started his little trash talking about NC. Wait.
Did NC State people know this, that you have this?
Like, them, yeah. So like, okay. Where on my visit to NC State, the basketball team was playing against North Carolina. And so we go to the game and I'm like, for like UNC in my head, and NC State wins and everybody's like going crazy. Like the stadium, like the, everybody's storming the court and all this stuff like this. And in the back of my head, I'm like, man, I'm mad. Like, I didn't want NC State to win. I want UNC to win. But so like me and Sam, I'm sure we're going to get some bets going until it's basketball season. Then I'm probably going to keep my bets to a minimum, you know?
No, I hear you. Who hasn't pictured themselves in those Carolina white baby blue basketball jerseys?
Exactly. Like, I mean, MJ kind of like ruined it for everybody. Not right. Everybody like is a UNC fan by default, you know?
Oh man. So you sat out 1 year after you transferred from Florida. Uh-huh. And knowing what you know now, maybe about what you picked up that year of sitting out, do you think it's good for guys to sit out? Or do you think in this age of transfer portal, you think, like, were you ready to go play at NC State and be the quarterback? Or do you think that year really helped you?
Honestly, I think the year helped me. I probably was ready to play, but I didn't deserve to play, you know? And I don't even watch college sports that much because of, like, all of this stuff that's going on. And now I think it's gotten bad, but I think I didn't deserve to play. You know, I'm coming transferred from a school to come to a new school. And, you know, and it was guys that were there before me and already there, that have, like, kind of worked their way up through it, you know, to the point where I was just waiting for, you know, my opportunity. And I think it allowed me to grow so much and learn more about myself than football. It's just like having that quote unquote resiliency to be able to, like, you know, I got to sit out here and I got to get ready. I got to make sure when my opportunity comes, like, I'm ready to go. And, you know, that opportunity, like, that's what I took the most out of, to where I think the guys nowadays, it's just like, I'm going to just continue to go where I can play or I can get NIL deals and things like that, which is fine. But I think you lose that competitive edge of, like, you know, just look at Joe Burrow. Like, I think he had to sit out a year or something like that. Like, I think he said,
he didn't have to sit out because he was a graduate transfer.
And you just realize, like,
you probably would have left before then though.
Yeah. For real. But it's just like, you just find ways to, like, you know, fine tune your, like, your drive, like, oh, why am I really doing this? Like, I can't, like, embarrass myself, where now I feel like I've seen guys, like, transfer, like, seven times and play
crazy. But as a pro athlete, what you know now, it's never going to get easier at the highest level. You're going to have to compete with guys in a small room and there's not very many spots available, and yeah, it just doesn't get any easier.
And that's what I take from that. It's just like, you know, like, when these guys get to, and it's no disrespect to anybody, but when these guys get to the next level, like, when those hard times come, you know, like, they're going to look for flight. You know, it's that fight or flight mentality, and that, you know, they're going to look for flight. And me and I think you probably met Hoyer one time or something like that, but me
Who's
and
that?
Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
These are the guys that are going to keep you paid, give you a job, because, you know, like, when those times get hard, like, they're thinking in their mind, like, transfer, like, find a way to get out of the situation where, and like, you kind of fall back onto what you know. It's just like, I know how to work through it. I know how to get through it. You know, I know how to, you know, be ready when my time and my opportunity comes, because you've been through it before, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy, this NIL stuff, man.
Oh my God.
It's nuts. So what's the best football play you've ever made versus the best golf shot that you've ever hit to this point? And which one felt better?
Oh, so I remember, I just watched your Steph Curry one, and and I don't have video evidence of mine. So in, like, we played, when I was playing with the Colts for, we played against Denver. It was at home, and it was towards the end of the game. We're down, like, I want to say two, and we're backed up. I never forget. We're going towards our locker room. And it's third down. I think it's like third and eight or something like that. Von Miller comes free and he's getting ready to, like, sack me. And I just, like, found a way to, like, you know, just maneuver to get away from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, broke the tackle and rolled to the right. And T.Y. Hilton is, like, bolting to the sideline to the right. And I probably threw it, like, 45 yards on a rope. Like, it was, like, to the point where I was like, damn, I just did that. And I've tried to, like, emulate that same row and everything. And I still, like,
were you on the move, or did you
on the move? I was on the move. Yeah.
And it was a rope.
Oh, and it was a rope. I was like, Tom texted me, like, after that game, he was like, bro, that was, like, sick. You know what I mean? So once you get some of those texts from him, like, throughout the year, you're like, all right, that was pretty good. He, like, you know what I mean? You get that, like, little boost.
I love that.
But I would say that was probably my, like, best, like, NFL, like, play that, like, triggers in my brain right now.
Yeah, that's, I gotta have to go find that one.
Yeah, no, it was, I think it was 2018, I want to say 2018, 2019 year.
Love it. All right, let me hear about a golf shot.
golf shot.
One that's just like one that sticks in your brain. It was just like, man, this is what keeps me coming back.
Damn. So I was playing in DC, actually. Like, we're playing in Virginia back during OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the tee box. It's like par three. It's about like 150, 160 range.
Yep.
And I'm playing like dog shit. I'm like, really, like I'm wasting everybody's time. And so par three, I think I take out my like nine iron pitch because we had a little wind behind us. And I'm so mad. I get up to the tee box. I'm like, man, I'm wherever this ball goes, I'm like picking up and nobody's like really watching besides one guy. And like, they were playing in the course and nobody's really watching. And I just like, I hit it and I'm like, damn, that felt different. That felt weird. And I was like, and it's like going like right at the hole. And I'm like, that's going in. Like me and the guy, that's the only two guys that are watching. I'm like, dude, I think I just got a hole in one. And so like, I'm just like, I'm gonna walk up there because the other people that weren't watching, I'm gonna just walk up there and try to like figure it out, like if they went in the hole or not. Because I need to know if I'm buying drinks or whatever.
Which is dumb, by the way. Like,
exactly.
Everybody should buy you drinks.
Exactly. So I'm like, in my head, so we get in the cart. I didn't walk. I get in the cart and I'm just super quiet. I'm like, I don't wanna jinx it. But that was probably the greatest golf shot I think I ever hit. I didn't get a hole in one. I literally got
Did it go in?
No. I got it to like less than a foot. Like,
oh god.
And I'm like, damn, like that was like, I couldn't hit it any better. Like I was, and I it's one of those shots that made me come back and play. And I went on to shoot another 95 on the.
Well, which one felt better, that frozen rope throw or the pitching wedge that was right on top, almost made an ace?
Oh, the one that almost made an ace. For sure. Without a doubt. Like I'll take that every time on a par three day.
Let's go, man. That's when we could tell you're a golf guy. You're playing right into it.
No, for sure.
Man, I appreciate you coming on. This has been really fun to get to know you. And we're definitely 100% got to get on the golf course and we're going to go have some fun at some point, but I'm definitely going to be a big fan of the Commanders this year and yourself, and keep doing your thing, dude. If you ever need me for golf tips and this and that, or playing with the boys down in Jupe, I'm more than happy to help.
For sure, man. I appreciate it. I had a lot of fun and definitely got to see you out on the golf course a little bit. Obviously next off season, we got to get together and play a couple rounds. So
absolutely. Let's do it, dude. Absolutely. Yeah. We'll go crush it this year, man. And I'll be cheering for you.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
So great talking to Jacoby and looking forward to some Jupe golf with him this winter. We will be back here on Monday recapping the 3M Open and taking a look at the FedEx Cup standings as we get closer to the playoffs. Thanks for listening and see you then. The Smiley Show is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.